Hey, quick interruption. We have changed our Patreon campaign. Go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv to find out how you can get an extra premium episode of Abject Suffering per month. Once again, that is patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Thanks. Boo! Hey, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, cool. As you know, it is the summer months, and it is hot.
Yes.
And, you know, and another thing, you know, is that I'm a true 80s kid. It's something that there are certain things that only I am privy to, certain secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was that as an 80s kid, every kid was super into the martial arts.
Mm.
You know, because you had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but even before that, you had like American Ninja. And
you had your various Chuck Norris films.
Yes.
Yeah.
And part of this is, you know, every kid had nunchucks, which are a super cool way to hit yourself in the balls really hard all the time.
Yep.
If you've never done that.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things is I met a martial arts master. He taught me this trick about honing your reflexes. And because it's summer, I can finally do it.
Hmm.
Because I record in this basement and all the flies actually gather here.
Hmm.
It's a real nightmare. It's really disgusting. But it's the price I pay to record in a cool space. And I have here, if you'll open up this little prepackaged thing of chopsticks.
Huh, okay.
And what I want you to do as your first task, Cole-san, is to catch one of these flies with your chopsticks.
Are there little tags like hanging from their legs, Gary? They're very sluggish.
Yeah. I put tiny little balls and chains on them as well. These are trainer flies. So they have the cute. It would be cute if they didn't just look like the most disgusting nightmare, and eat, drink, and breed in feces.
Right.
It would be cute. Like, well, flies. I don't know if you know this, but like flies, when they want water, if they can't find water, they just drink condensation on shit.
Yep.
Like they literally just like, this is where my water comes from. Mm-hmm. It comes from shit. It's not like an astronaut and how their water comes from shit. It just bubbles up from it like fucking the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah, they're not wearing fucking still suits.
No. It's just like this clear gold. Texas hydration.
Yeah.
Like, just let's dig in. So anyway, so they're disgusting, but they have these little balls and chains and these little tags.
Well, that on one got one. Just got really tired because he was all sad, and so I'm just gonna
pick him up. Talking shit about him.
Yep.
So what's the matter, you little pussy?
Take that up with your
ball and chain got you down.
Literally.
Yeah, just pick him up.
Okay, I'll use the chopsticks because I'm not gonna touch a fly. Okay. Here we go. And looking on, it says Karate Kid.
Well, fuck. Like, fuckish.
Yeah. Punch drunk love, funny people.
Yeah. Sloppy Joes.
I'm sure there's some asshole who's done like a Lunch Ladyland parody with Adam Sandler movie. Little Nicky.
Oh, sure. Nicky Little.
Yeah. Oh, well, Gary, what's your name?
Gary Butterfield.
My name's Cole Ross.
And this is Abject Suffering, episode 101.
Mm-hmm.
We're breaking off a new hundo.
Yeah, we're rolling over the odometer.
Yep, and with this new hundo, we're hitting up Karate Kid for the NES.
Yes, this was suggested by one Mr. Eric Hyde.
Yeah, who is a friend of mine from back home, who suggested many games.
Yeah, and so this, like Action 52 and a couple of the games we've done recently, is part of the pantheon, right? Of your angry, grumpy video game nerds and such. And Gary, I'm going to put something forward here. I don't think it's that bad.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's just published by LJN, but developed by Atlas.
Yep.
Like, and I remember, like, even when I saw this was thought of as one of the shittiest games ever. I was really surprised because I played this a lot when I was little and was like,
Me too.
It wasn't like a classic. It was just like, it was fine.
It was a solid rental from City View Video.
Yeah, it's totally it's a solid rent, and it remains a solid rent. Like, now that you have literally every video game in the world, available to you, every Nintendo game on a computer, it's maybe not worth your time, but like, mm-hmm. it's not a waste of your time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd call this a redemption, but there's a lot interesting going on here.
I would call it firmly in like the top quarter of games we've done.
Yeah.
Like firmly, mm-hmm. you know, maybe even like top 20%.
Yeah.
Like and now that we have 100 episodes, it's really easy to kind of figure that shit out. Like, what's going to happen? We should do it soon.
Just do some kind of poll to see what the actual best game we played.
The actual percentage of redemptions are.
Yeah.
Like, figure out the stratum. But like, so this is not bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're playing as Daniel-san, and this kind of covers roughly the events of the first two movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mostly
the second movie.
Because it begins at the tournament, right?
Yeah.
And like, this is it's a pretty varied structure that it's putting you through, right? Like, there's a little bit of like Yayar Kung Fu in here, mm-hmm. In terms of, you know, these one-on-one kind of fights that you're doing that then kind of segue into kind of a pretty samey beat 'em up in Okinawa.
That's what how you spend most of the game.
Yeah.
You know, probably. And it's very similar to the game Kung Fu.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just one hit, you know, attacks, and in Kung Fu, which was like a way earlier NES game, so
yeah,
you know, it makes sense that it was so simple. But Kung Fu is about timing your hit, so you hit a guy before he gets within your field or whatever.
Kung Fu is about recognizing that there's no reason not to kick.
Yes,
just in general life too.
Kung Fu is about outsourcing your feelings and assigning regret to those accountable. It's a reference.
Oh, okay.
Cool. I love reference humor.
it's cultural shorthand, Gary.
Yeah, I'm just borrowing some cultural capital from the people who recognize that. So when they have a tiny ding of recognition, or they'll give me credit for it rather than the actual people who did the original.
It's a ladder straight to the dopamine center of the brain.
Yeah,
like they're taking their knob and they're pushing it firmly to the right.
And I want, whenever they take their knob, I want them to think of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, the reference to knobs. The
check. Gary, we have a quota to meet, okay?
Bingo.
Was that Christmas Vacation?
No, it wasn't. But boy, it could have been. In this postmodern world that we live in, like, in everything we're saying is a reference.
Oh, well, yeah. No, I mean... We are speaking from the throats of giants.
Yes. Yep.
Hey, corn.
welcome to my warm throat. I hope you enjoy it.
Is there some kind of symbiosis for this? I want to think that I'm actually giving something back to the giant by being here. Is it like when a bird just has a bunch of pebbles in his gullet? Like, am I helping him digest?
When he swallows other podcasters, we had to fight them.
Oh.
So like when he goes and just like decimates Max Fun,
and he just rolls up on the LA Podfest,
yeah, and just destroy, like, it's like Rampage. Hello, hello,
oh, hello, Seth Rollins. Oh man, McElroy's.
He turned those McElroys into a fucking turducken.
Oh gosh, just a Griffin inside of a Travis inside of a Justin.
Yeah.
Huh. Yep. Oh man, that was a good solid goof. But we were speaking from the throats of giants. Kung Fu is outsourcing your feeling to a fist. There's no reason not to kick. The crazy thing about this is that you do the crane kick, but it's at random whenever you kick. I never found a way to actually deploy the crane kick.
It's not at random, but it has one of the weirdest input methods I've seen in a Nintendo game.
Oh, so elucidate.
You collect crane kicks and drum punches as little C's and D's around. And if you have them, you'll automatically use them if you're not moving when you kick or punch.
Oh.
If you're pressing right or left, you'll do a regular kick. If you're just if you're not pressing anything except for the button, you use a power-up.
Hmm.
Like, that's weird.
That's pretty crazy. So I thought that those C's and D's I was picking up were just health.
No, those are crane kicks and drum punches. And that's your reward for completing mini games and doing well in the tournament.
Yeah.
I think two is how many of those you start with.
And those mini games are great. I just wish there was that they didn't spring them on you at random by jumping into a secret LJN mystery spot.
I thought you're going into doors. It's when you because you jump. There's another weird thing about this game is that you press up to jump. So what you're doing is you're pressing up and jumping in front of doors, like black spots in the background.
Huh.
And that's where the training happens, even though sometimes it's on a cliff. Like, you go in there, and then, like, inside there is a cliff with a swinging blade log.
Yep. So, oh, it's over the pool. It's the Batman training hammer swing. To time
I don't
your
know
jumps.
Why you don't win that by jumping over it. It's not to time your jump. You're supposed to punch it.
What? Oh, wow. So that seemed to be the... So that's why it gave me a zero score every time I did it.
I was really confused too. Like,
Gary,
I was...
I'm so non-confrontational and just challenge averse that I like, what? It's like
that,
somebody
that would
threw a football
also be
at
a
me.
Legitimate.
Oh yeah,
like, test of reflexes. Yeah, challenge, you know, yeah. And that's what I thought it was. But you're supposed to punch it. Hmm. And the trick is you have to face it to punch it. So you keep like turning your back into it quicker and quicker.
Yeah, and it speeds up like pendulums do.
Yeah, exactly. It's the source of all energy in this world. This is the Karate Kid NES Atlas LGN Pendulum brought to you by Safeway.
That was a weird promotion, right?
AT&T. Yeah.
Every time you bought a calling card, you got crane kicked. They swept your leg. It was super inconvenient.
That's why I keep coming back.
They called it the Cobra calling card.
Cobra Kai calling card.
Mm.
If a man can't see, he can't fight. Karate Kid 3. Reference.
Ah, man, that was a good one. I think that people look down on Karate Kid 3 because because of the protagonist, but
yeah, no, Karate Kid 3 is awesome.
I know, it's
like
great.
I'm sure I've gone on that, talked about that before. Like,
no, I don't think you have.
I have a real love for like little loved sequels in games and or in shows, old movies, because I like Back to the Future 2 more than I like Back to the Future 1.
Mm-hmm.
I like Karate Kid 3 best of all. And I mean, I guess I don't like RoboCop. Like later RoboCop's better, even though no, that's not true. I like RoboCop 2 more than RoboCop 1.
Oh, God, for sure, because it has Red Foreman.
Yeah, it has Red Foreman, and it's fucking weird. There's a nuke for every occasion. Like, it was like giving yourself glowing emotion drugs that you stabbed into your neck. Like, it's really, really awesome. Like, that movie's great.
Mm-hmm.
But Karate Kid is the only one of those sequel chains that went up to 3.
Oh. That's funny, because I was confusing Karate Kid 3 with the next Karate Kid.
Oh, I've not seen that one.
Yeah, that has Hilary Swank in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Karate Kid 2, I think, is boring as shit.
Mm.
Like nothing happens in Karate Kid 2.
I don't have any recollection. So it's been so long since I've seen the Karate Kid movies. When you were going on in the intro, I didn't want to prolong the intro. I wanted to save some cast for the body of the cast. Even early 90s kids like myself, we had the martial arts fascination as well. To the point where, like, all ninja play, as they called it, was banned from the playgrounds at school, and like, we got the tail end of the Turtles. It was more of the cartoon side of things than anything else. But also, the Power Rangers were in play.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah, those guys.
So here's the thing, and when I talk to, I don't have a lot of kids in my life, but when I talk to my brother about his daughter and everything that goes on, apparently martial arts are not like a thing anymore for kids. Like, it's not in the zeitgeist.
Yeah, I don't know what like action cartoons kids watch now. It is like, I know cool kids watch Adventure Time and Steven Universe and stuff.
Yeah.
And then when they graduate, well, I guess like there is martial arts, but it's like Legend of Korra and things like that. Like it's
anime.
It's anime. Yeah. Which, like, and those are well-regarded animes. Like, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
But like the American Ninja is dead despite the game show. Like, it is not, really a thing.
Yeah.
And in our popular culture, which is like, it was so big for so long.
Uh-huh. Gary, I would even say like into middle school because of Dragon Ball Z. Not like, like we weren't going around in the woods like doing Kamehamehas or whatever, but like it was a fascination as a genre of entertainment for me until I was like 14 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, it's huge. Like it is just, and there's something to it. Like, most of the stuff that was marketed to kids was trash.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Karate Kid movies are underdog sports movies that are like relatively fun to watch.
Yeah, it's like Snobs versus Slobs, but with Pat Morita.
Yeah, they don't stand up super well.
Right.
But like, the actual, you know, kung fu as a genre is like pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
In Portland, there's this weirdo
who go on. I'm resting my chin lovingly on both of my palms right now.
Well, he's a little bit offbeat. He's a little bit irreverent. And he at the Hollywood Theater, which is our big old cool theater, and he does kung fu theater once a month that I go to with my friends. But he's this like world-renowned collector of these things. Like he finds all these, you know, this is the only known 35 millimeter print of this movie, things like that. And he like borrows movies from Quentin Tarantino
all
the time for us to watch. Like it's real weird, but those movies are really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I always have to like check my, I guess like my cultural relativism about it, because part of the reason why they're so fun is because they're such a different culture that they're utterly unpredictable.
Yeah.
So like it's constantly hilarious because I never know what's going to happen next with the ship, but they're great. Like it's legitimately like, last year we watched a thing called Dragons Forever, and it was this old like Jackie Chan movie, and it was like the funniest movie I saw in theaters that year. Like it was hilarious. Like it's really, really, really good. Like it's a really, really good fun time. And it's like the fight scenes are really good. The fight scenes are like super like close up and uninterrupted shots.
Oh, nice.
So you don't get your nightmare like Transformers Marvel movie fight scenes where it's 1,000 cuts in between, so you never know what anything is in relation to anything else.
Nobody ever touches anybody.
Yeah. I hate modern action, like choreography. It is the worst.
Yeah, no. And it's no more clear than when you watch Mad Max and you're like, oh, if you just keep things in the center of the frame and do it long enough so you see which direction they're moving relative to everybody else, everything is solved.
Yeah. It makes such a big difference. Like such a fucking big difference. And all these old movies are all just like long takes of this shit. And it's really, really fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Long takes at like the middle distance. Yeah.
This game has a really good case of Wikipedia said it worst. The Wikipedia for this needs some editing. Under the gameplay section, the editor says, there are 4 levels in the game, and they play out as the movie goes. It ends with Pat Morita winking at the player from the screen.
Help, I'm trapped!
No shit, he's not winking from fucking the living room? Dumbass.
This poor man is trapped in the box.
Take out, so the ending, right? If you do the ending. Mr. Miyagi's head appears and is animated to look as if he's talking and saying, you have successfully guided Daniel-san through all the challenges and become a martial arts master. Oh, his head appears and is animated to look as if he's talking? Thanks for explaining that to me, Wikipedia.
Wait a minute. Okay, go back to the beginning and slow it down for me.
Yeah. Whoa. A fictional character comes to life?
There's no...
And talks to you if you beat this Nintendo game?
Talks? I can't. What? Huh. Yeah.
Shut up, Wikipedia. You dumb piece of shit.
So I love it. So I love it in these older games for Wikipedia, like where instead of just like a synopsis of the gameplay, like you have a punch and a kick and you have challenges and there's a typhoon, such and such, you know, each stage has its own thing. Like the gameplay section is broken down into levels and it describes what each of them is with their own like H2 heading.
It's really weird. Like it doesn't, it's like a very early Wikipedia entry, which is strange because it's not really early. It's probably just neglected.
Yeah.
Like somebody did it, and then after Wikipedia styles came and went, nobody came through and touched this up.
Oh,
it's not
yeah.
like somebody was like, we need to put this in before the Wikipedia entry on philosophy. You know, like it's not like that.
Yeah. So. Concept of God. Ooh, let's view history. When was the last time this was Gary? That's not the case. Last time it was touched was in June of 2015.
Well, I'm very surprised by that.
Yep. Oh, and there's one specific person who is ooh boy. Yeah, this person has got a hard on for it. Like he spent all day from midnight until 5:30 a.m. touching up and editing this.
this is what happened.
Yep.
That's surprising.
this is the result.
I can only hope that he was like just logged in at the time and walked away, went to sleep or something.
Oh, and just like the dark web became animate and started.
Yeah, that's very Yeah.
So sometimes I have apocalyptic thoughts about the idea that what if all of the information we're uploading, the videos and the vlogs and the YouTubes are kind of cultural habituation for the eventual AI. Like, I'm not going to be like Kurzweil singularity or whatever, but I think like if you look at the aggregate of that corpus of data, what are people learning about the priorities of humankind?
You realize that, I don't know if you've read any reviews, but you realize that it is the premise of Pixels, more or less.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it's not the singularity, but it's aliens. It's the idea that, like, we sent all these cultural artifacts to aliens, and they interpreted them as an act of war because they're so violent.
Oh, it's the fucking, the Futurama episode.
Yeah.
A single female lawyer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the actual Futurama episode where the aliens come and it's just a bunch of video games.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's not original, but it's just kind of weird that like, kind of heady... and dare I say, good premise is the basis for that movie.
Has led to that.
Is basis for the sloppiest of Joes.
Mm. The littlest of Nickies.
Yeah.
That's two little Nickies in one episode.
Yeah.
But. So, LJN, you know, when you stack it up against, you know, your, what's the name of that one with the P, your Psygnosis's, I don't know that they're coming out looking that bad.
There's a YouTube channel. I talked about it when we did one of these things recently. This guy, the LJN Defender, who has an aggressively hard to listen to voice, I think. When we did Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Mm.
He's just, it's not even his voice. It's just his delivery. And he seems like a perfectly nice guy. I'm not trying to put him too much on blast. But he has a very emphatic delivery that's a little bit hard in the ears. But he did that's kind of his whole thing. And like, he's kind of right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, LJN is just, you know, they didn't even develop most of this shit. They just would publish anything and had the license rights for commercial, you know, tie-in games, which there's a lot of pressure on. You know, like, you have to get these out. Like, this came out right in the wake of Karate Kid 2.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not strictly a tie-in, but it did come out to capitalize on that.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a lot of pressure. And sometimes you get a good game developer making the game. So you get your Atlases kind of doing this.
And sometimes you get your unknown developers making the Uncanny X-Men.
Yes. Yeah. You just get, you know, somebody, you know, me. Mm-hmm. Like, just, you know, with a gun to my head. Telling me to make a Nintendo game.
Just, the laser sight is getting in my eye. God damn it. You know.
This is real, real monkey's paw wish. Like... Yeah, I could do something cool with the X-Men license. I wish they made a good X-Men Nintendo game. Well, good. You're going to do it. You know? Yeah. Like,
it's an explosion of blue smoke.
All right, fatty. Put your money where your mouth is.
Why is Christian Slater forcing you to develop the X-Men video game?
You have hope. And hope must be divested if you are going to make a Nintendo game.
I always thought Christian Slater would play a good devil.
He's one of those people who has not benefited from being ageless,
right?
Like, now when you see him, it's like, who's this fucking idiot kid doing Christian Slater impersonation? Like, it doesn't make sense at all, but he looks exactly the same and talks exactly the same. Man, speaking of ageless, I watched me and Elizabeth watched the Wet Hot American Summer First Day of Camp.
Oh shit.
Like, Netflix series.
Yeah,
is that what
I didn't realize really that was good. Out huh
it's very good.
Is the whole season out? Because I kind of want to dedicate a day to that.
Yeah, it's eight episodes that are 22 minutes each.
Oh,
like, it's
well,
two
yeah.
and a half hours. You can dedicate an afternoon to it.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing to watch the stars of it be varying in their agelessness, because you get like Paul Rudd, who looks like he stepped off of like Clueless, like Paul Rudd, you know, and then you get like Michael Showalter, who is like fat and kind of looks like he's melting. And I love him. Like, I feel bad about it, but like, and there's some really inspired stunt casting with him. Like, he plays two roles, and the other role is amazing. But like, he's just, and they do so many funny things with it. Like, that, I read a review and they were like, the first joke is written before it even the show even starts, because like the idea of it just being this prequel where all these people were already like 15 years too old to play teenagers are now 10 years older. And are playing their younger selves from that. Like, it's very funny.
How's Michael Ian Black doing? I kind of always thought that he was like one bad day away from just disintegrating.
He's holding it together.
Okay.
His face is weirdly like not fatter, but it's wider.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
His face is more diamond shaped. It's real hard to explain. Like,
it's taken on this trapezoidal kind of structure.
It is definitely like his cheeks just went like, they didn't droop or anything. They just went further away from his nose. Like, they're trying to escape. Like his cheekbones jut out farther. It's very strange.
Yeah.
But he's definitely in like the top half of you know, holding it together.
Yeah, but you've got your Bradley Coopers and stuff who are just always on point. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's a, you know, major movie star.
Yeah. Got to like be on point.
He's an American hunk. So he's got to look good.
Yeah. Kind of got to keep that man meat tight.
Yeah. His face meat is tight.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really good. This is a very specific memory I have about Karate Kid.
Yeah.
And it's sad, but I'll say it anyway.
Okay.
So after my parents got divorced and I was 7 years old and I still saw my dad before he took off,
mm-hmm.
I was staying at my dad's house and my parents' divorce was not mutual. Like my mom decided to divorce my dad and he did not want to get divorced.
Right.
And he was still very much in love with my mom at the point in which she divorced him.
Mm.
So the I found on my dad's bedside table a book that was called How to Fall Out of Love, and it was like a self-help book.
Oh man.
And I was too young to like really like get it. Like I could read, I'm not, you know, but I didn't really understand it, so I asked him about it. And he said, like, he was talking about it, and he was saying how one of the pieces of advice in the book is that whenever you're feeling down, to think about something that makes you laugh, which, like, good job, author of the book. don't like stepping your toes, wear shoes. Like
feeling hungry, almonds.
Have a sandwich. Like, it's pretty dumb. But he talked about that. And his go-to thing was a scene in Karate Kid 3 where Mr. Miyagi goes to rough up the Cobra Kai guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they are really racist. I don't know if you remember it, but they're super racist. And they're going like, wah, wah. They make all these racist motions.
Yeah.
And then Mr. Miyagi, like, murders them because he is a superhero.
Yeah.
Like, he's undefeated in these movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mr. Miyagi does it back to him. He mocks them with the same, like, wah. Like, ancient Chinese secret stuff.
Yeah.
And that was, like, my dad's Patronus for, like, trying to fall out of love with my mom when I was, you know, 10.
Huh.
So... And it's like a very, very strong, specific memory I have that is connected to Karate Kid.
Huh.
And probably the strongest Karate Kid feeling I have.
It's
very weird.
That's a good story. I mean, I'm not saying that like in a sarcastic way, but huh. I wouldn't have expected that personal of a connection to it.
Huh. Yeah, he's a weird dude, you know, my dad. Like,
well, no,
getting beyond the scope of abject suffering.
You've told stories before, and we don't. Yeah.
You don't need to go through all that because we have two more episodes to record. We haven't started funning yet. but like, it's just like whenever I think about Karate Kid, like I have a very specific sense memory of my dad telling me about that and seeing like finding that book.
That's so weird because my Karate Kid memories are tied with my dad too. This is specifically my dad and my stepdad.
Your dad, God damn it. I forgot Shumiagi's real name and I was going to make a joke.
Pat Morita. Yeah. So I was raised by I was one of Morita's kids. He was raising money for a specific ailment that I have that I'm not ready to discuss on air yet.
Your mother was inseminated in the haunted set of Happy Days.
Yep.
Yeah, the abandoned lot.
So, oh man, I've got deep catalog on Morita vis-a-vis Happy Days, but no, I have tremendous respect for the man. He won a lot of awards for his work too, which is great. Mm-hmm. But with my dad and my stepdad, because, you know, when you're a little kid, discipline is a big thing that your parents try and teach you, right? It's like one of the most important lessons you can learn is that you're going to do a lot of stupid stuff that doesn't make sense right now, but will later. So, you know, just having watched Karate Kid, because again, it was the late 80s, early 90s. You know, you're just going to watch it. And whenever I would just be real shitty about having to do something, I don't want to make my bed, and just like wax on, wax off.
Huh. Oh yeah.
Which was the explicit lesson of that portion of the movie. But even still, that became this weird little mantra that like short circuited my, you know, stupid little Paul Rudd tantrum that was about to come in when I was being forced to like, you know, rake the lawn.
the explicit message of the wax on, wax off was like, you're going to use these specific arm movements in combat.
Yeah.
Like, did you later do things that like, it was the same motions as making a bed, but you were actually holding a pillow over like a Vietnam vet or something.
No, like, no. I mean, it's like, okay, so explicitly, like, yes, you were over a Vietnam bed. No, but it was like, yeah, you know what? Like in the movie, Pat Morita didn't explain why he was having him do this thing, and he was really like shitty about it, but it paid off later.
Oh yeah,
you know, so like that. That was a, you know, like Ralph Macchio didn't really age that well and didn't go on for much, but that thing did stick around, and it was this weird kind of like cross family thing that popped up and was very effective for me.
It's it's a weirdly informative and resonant series, mm-hmm. You know, for no like real good reason. Like it, you know, it's kind of like 80s trash, but it is. You know, it is good.
Yeah.
At the same time, so good on you.
Yeah, and then you know you had Jaden Smith coming back as the Kung Fu Kid with Jackie Chan.
Yeah, I guess that is true. I have not seen that.
I understand it was very bad.
Watching real like Jackie Chan movies, Japanese like or you know old Kung Fu Jackie Chan movies, mm-hmm. makes me really sad for like modern ones, which are kind of fun, but mm-hmm. they get all Chris Tucker in this shit, and he's actually legitimately like a really funny. You know, guy on his own.
Yeah,
like he doesn't need to be the straight man mm-hmm. foil to anybody.
Yes, he doesn't need be the straight man for Owen Wilson in Shanghai Noon.
No, like it is.
You're degrading yourself, Jackie. Come on.
Yeah, it's he's super super funny, and great physicality on that man. I don't know. I don't have that much more to say about the game. Like, I think the game is actually pretty fun.
It's pretty fun. It captures, so it captures most of the most boring movie in the series, but like it fits thematically. Like the little training mini games are fun, even if I couldn't figure them out. Like the ice breaking one had a little bit of that Mortal Kombat timing, golf timer kind of side of it.
Yeah.
And so I just had the idea of starting out in the climactic scene of the first game. Like, you know, don't give me, you know, the crazy boring stuff. Get me right in.
The one of the interesting things about just the detritus about around the game, mm-hmm. you know, it's actually kind of good because there's nothing, you know, amazing about the online presence to this game that I can find. There is the Game Facts writer is kind of a unique form of like narcissistic personality disorder.
Yeah, I saw this too, and I kind of didn't want to make fun of him.
Yeah, he's like, are we talking about the same guy? Or are we talking about Glass _ Soul? I don't feel that bad bringing up his name because anybody could just look.
Well, anybody can go. Facts. Yeah, they're 50-50 shot. But like his whole "in my opinion" ... that begins with a parenthetical deep sigh.
Yeah, he's very sad sack, and it's a real weird. Medium for it. Mm-hmm. There's like a part where he's like, well, onto the walkthrough, if you can call it that. I don't even know if this will get published. Like,
you're pressing the button. Like, you can see it. Yeah. You're not like mailing it off with a self-addressed stamped envelope in case they have to send you a rejection letter.
It's like the New Yorker is gonna, you know, put up your Karate Kid back. Like,
yeah, with a single panel cartoon of a man on a small little island with a single palm tree. Like, no.
No, it's going to, you know, it's going to get published.
Mm-hmm.
You made a fact for the Karate Kid for the NES. Like you can feel if that makes you feel bad, it shouldn't be because you're not sure if it will be successful.
So so this is the other thing about this too. I realize you didn't say the first thing, but the whole idea of I don't know why I'm doing this, but here it is. Like the act of making a sacrifice that nobody acted for and then being shitty about it.
Yeah, he's doing it to deflect potential criticism. Like he's doing it to be like, I don't even care about it either, you know, in case anybody thinks it's stupid.
No, this matters.
Yeah, like he's it could have been written by like a kid, so who knows, but it's a very much like a teenager.
I don't have to graduate high school. Dennis says he's gonna get me a job down at the dealership, no problem.
Yeah, exactly. Like I don't need to do this Karate Kid fact. I just and it's just it's not that it is an unusual attitude to have, it's just an unusual venue for it, which is a common thing for us. And finally, before we get done with this, just in case we're done, I don't know, I assume we're close to being done.
Yep.
What do you want to give me an over under on the speed run on this, because I think it's kind of shocking.
Oh man, I'm gonna say 17 minutes.
4 minutes.
Really?
You can beat this game in 4 minutes.
So it doesn't stop you, so if you do a tool assist you can jump over all the enemies.
It like a real time, like not a tool assist, like,
oh
there's
really
nothing. Yeah, like a guy just on an actual SNES, not even on an emulator. 4 minutes. So there's, you do it through like tricks, like if you get enemies to chase you, more enemies won't spawn.
Oh, because there can only be so many on the screen at the same time.
Yeah, and that's how you get past the fourth level, which is where I got to, which I did not realize was the last level.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how you deal with those fucking spear guys.
Okay. Yeah.
Because that's what those guys who killed me.
I only ever got to the Typhoon. Which provided a great justification for why there was like a bunch of stuff flying around trying to kill you. Like lesser game wouldn't have built that in. Well, obviously they're referencing the Okinawa Typhoon from the second movie, but like, oh yeah, okay, like this makes sense in this game when it never ever does in any other place.
It's so weird too, because that it's birds flying against the wind.
Mm-hmm.
That you deal with there, and if they hit you, but they're just trying to fly, like they're not trying to kill you, like Ninja Gaiden, they're just flying in loops and just happen to slam into your head.
Poor like birds, come on.
Yeah, it's real goofy,
huh?
But yeah, that's I think that's probably good for Karate Kid.
I think it is. So thank you, Eric. Thanks, sir. I'm not gonna say a fuck you, because like, you know, you get these ones that are just kind of like served up like slow pitches, like, okay, well yeah, it makes sense for us to talk about Karate Kid. It's in our wheelhouse, of course, but it's always nice when we can buck that trend and not scream and yell. Except agreed. About our dads.
agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what are we doing next time?
Well, next time we are doing a little game called Legend. Just Google the word Legend and you'll find it.
Yep. In no way is it a... I had no idea this was a thing.
Oh, neither did I.
Like, this has to be one of the more obscure things we've ever done, because mm-hmm. it's something I should have known about as like a kid, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
But, boy.
Yeah.
I had no idea this was a thing. Yeah, if you like the show, you can rate and review us on iTunes, and you can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Mm-hmm. If you are going to be doing any back-to-school shopping for anything like college or whatnot, go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar and use the Amazon links there and buy your textbooks and whatnot. And a small portion of your purchase goes to support the network, and it doesn't cost you anything extra.
Yep, and it is really appreciated.
Yes.
And so do those things and tell a friend about the show.
Yeah.
And do Mbasa.
And yeah, let's sync some subs.
Oh yeah, let's sync some subs. Subs. Let's get busy.
I want to make that a new thing.
Yeah, we gotta add Let's Get Busy is a much more appropriate sign off.
It's the opposite of an appropriate sign off.
That's why I like it.
Yeah.
Like, now that we're leaving, let's get busy. It leaves it up in the imagination what we're gonna do after this.
Oh yeah, I'm sure like people think, man, they've got a lot going on, don't they?
Yeah, I'm gonna go partying on the futon over here and party some dinner down my mouth.
Did you say down my mouth?
I did.
Okay, cool.
Not on purpose either, so this is a mistake. Down my mouth.